today's daf is daf Yudches. We're up to the Mishnah on Yud Zayin Amud Beit at the bottom. So Shammai Omrim, we've completed now the section of the various Gezeros that we've had. And you'll notice that Gezeros up until this point have been not simply Nogea Shabbat, but we've talked about Gezerot as a whole. We'll go through a lot of history that revolves around Gezerot. What happened, what Gezerot were made early on, from the time of Yossi ben Yoezer, going all the way back to the time of Shlomo HaMelech, through the time of Yossi ben Yoezer, through the time of the centuries before the Churban, and then the various stages, Usha, Yavna, and so on afterwards. So it's clear that the subject of Gezerot per se, not simply because we're talking about, happens to be that we talked about various Gezerot that were Erev Shabbos oriented, the sugya of Gezerot per se is fundamental to the first paragraph of Shabbos. Why that's true is something that we'll have to speak about Bezrat Hashem at Siyum. But we can up until this point, we've spoken about Gezerot that are not concerning other elements other than what it is that you shouldn't do on an Erev Shabbat because of the possibility of coming to a Malacha. From this point on, we're going to talk about various Gezerot that have to do with Malachot that are actually being done. Not that you might come to do a Malacha. The Malacha is going to be done. The question is whether there's a problem of setting up the Malacha to be done before Shabbat. Now this doesn't necessarily mean that it has to revolve around Gezerot. Because one way of looking at that topic is that there should be a new concept called Shvitat Kelim. Shvitat Kelim means that besides a person not doing Malacha on Shabbos, and besides his Be'ima not doing Malacha on Shabbos, and his Eved, and so on, we also have a remez in the Pasuk, as we'll see, that even the things that he owns should not be osik in doing Malacha on Shabbos. And that's one possible way of learning this Mishnah, that it's not necessarily Nogea Dinei Gezerot Bichlal, but rather that it's talking about an actual new concept of Shvitat Kelim. So says the Mishnah, oh, Sabbat Josh is here to start. There we go. Ein shorim dyo v'samanim v'kashinim. Here it says you're not allowed to take the one who's saying the daf yomi and put him into a cup of tea on Erev Shabbos when it's boiling hot outside.
34.
The reason being that he may melt on Shabbos. And then you won't be able to have a daf afterwards. But Beit Shammai also adds other takanos. That we don't put it this. That's Richie's chair.
That's my guy's
chair. Richie's back.
Richie's back.
Richie's back. Let's try this again. Okay. Ein shorim dyo v'samanim v'kashinim. These are various things that you'd have to put into water. And putting it into the water is the equivalent of a malacha, for some reason, when it's complete. So dyo, we'll see, putting ink into water is viewed as gibun. So that's the way in which you mix the ink and the water. Samanim, similar idea. You put in various things that need to be soaked in water until they turn into a dye. Kashinin is veggies that are used for animal feed. There too, they have to be mixed with water and softened. Eating. And the time that you can do this needs to be completed, says Beit Shammai, Kadesh Yisholu Mi Ba'odiyom. You have to complete this in time for the malacha to be done on Friday, because otherwise you'll be doing this malacha on Shabbat. What's what the problem is. Beit Hillel Matiri, Beit Hillel says it doesn't matter. As long as you take care of it, Mi Ba'odiyom, what happens on Shabbos proper is really not important. Beit Shammai Omrim, Ein Notrim Unim Shel Pishtan, B'toch HaTanur, Ela Kedei Eshiyah Havinu, Mi Ba'odiyom, the Unim Shel Pishtan, the Pishtan itself has in it these very hard to break and thick seed pods, which need to be softened. And part of that process is that the Unim are soaked and put into a oven in which they're kept hot for a while. And this breaks them down, and then you're able to get the threads from it. So this has to be done for the heat, to already heat them up, mi ba'odiyom. V'lo tatzemer liyoreh, no, you can't put in wool into a vat full of hot dye, ela kedei sheyiklo ta'ayin. It has to be completed, the dyeing has to be completed before nightfall. U'beit Hillel matirin. Beit Shammai omrim, ein porsin mitzudot chaya ve'ofot v'dagim, ela kedei sheyitzodu mi ba'odiyom. Beit Shammai says you can't spread traps. Again, we'll see what type of traps we're talking about. Unless that is going to trap Miba Odyom. That's a little strange. I mean, you never know, do you? You know? I mean, what exactly? This is certainly a whole different way of looking at it. In the Yerushalmi, the understanding is that it's in a place that is full of animals are full of fish. You know, it's just a matter of having them go in. Plus, there's only room for one. Because otherwise, this could go on the whole time. However, we'll see when we get into the sugya, there's other ways of understanding it. I mean, there's also, the question would be, Tosis is bothered by the question of, well, what's really wrong since you're not doing anything afterwards, right? In other words, he takes for granted, we're talking about that as soon as you put it up, something would come right in, from which Sabri Shonim or Medayik, and it appears that when it comes to, Tzeda, that unless the Tzeda is going to be accomplished by the act that you did, it would just be a groma. I put something there. Something wanders in, so that's a groma beyond it. That's not my Tzeda. So if, when I put it down, I know that putting it down, something is there, I'm going to pop in right away. So I'm putting a net there that's full of fish. So then that's Tzeda. But if not. The Chazanish argues on that whole tiyut. Because this is the same thing is true. You could say that the passivity, it comes after a long time, would mean that if you take a piece of bread, put it into a warm oven, and, then I'll forget about it. Let it cook on its own. You know, I mean, there's nothing to say when you let it cook on its own. Depends how you define the malach of Tzeda. So I mean, maybe if this is the definition of the malach of Tzeda, why would it mean that my act has to cause the animal to be right now encompassed? And if I put in motion a process which ultimately confines the animal to a smaller space, and the walls are closing in on him, I mean, why wouldn't that be a Tzeda too? So perhaps this is the malach of Tzeda. Again, it's not really our sugya.
When I say the fish catches itself.
Yeah, that's basically the question. I mean, Tosis is including that issue. What does that have to do with me? That's what a groma means. I set something up, and through what I set up, it turns out that this is accomplishment. It wasn't something that I did.
Is catching a one-time thing, or is it continuing on for 3 months inside?
No, it's a one-time thing, but when we get to it, I mean, we had the case of the Tzvi before where that was an issue. Remember, the guy gets up, right, leaving the other guy there. It's not a new Maisa Tzeda, and that's basically the case that you're talking about. That was the Havamir. But again, it's a Mishnah later on, so let's wait till we get there. Another machloket Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel on this issue is that Beit Shammai omrim ein mokrin lenochri ve'in ta'anim imo ve'in magbi'im alav ela kedei sheyagia lemakom karov. Now clearly this is not the same question, because here we're not talking about no way we could learn that this is Shkitat Kelim, nor is there any way that we can learn that this is a gezeira that you might end up continuing to do this on Shabbat, because it's not an issur to say, okay, put something on a goy on Shabbat. So even if it would be an actual Shlichut would only be an issur drabanan. So we're going to ask her doing it before Shabbos. It seems a little bit strange. Here, we're clearly going to have to enter into the realm of a new issue. Rashi later on says that the question here includes the concern that people will think that he's having the goy do this malacha for him on Shabbos, and therefore they'll come to, in general, be matir, the amir la'akum. But this is something that we need to go into when we get to it in the Gemara. Furthermore, and Beis Hillel is matter with all of these cases. Im HaShemesh, as long as the sun is still shining, you can go. Did I say not imorot? No, I'm sorry. Furthermore, Beit Shammai remain not imorot la'avdan, v'lo kelim la'koveis nochri. You're going to be giving in now your skins to a tanner, or your clothing into a dry cleaner. And all of this is to a goy, obviously, who's going to perhaps do the malacha on Shabbos. You have to give it in so that it would be finished before Shabbos. In all of these cases, Beit Hillel says, look, you bring it into the dry cleaner 5 minutes before Shabbos. What's your problem when he does it? Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, I want you to know that Lamaisa, we were makbid, even though we paskin like Hillel, no agima yu beit abba, shayu notnin klei lavan lekoveis nofri, shlosha yamin kodem neshabbat. White clothing, which is more difficult to get clean than colored clothing, we must be makbid on every last speck. So that takes a long time. We were marked, but not to give it into the cleaners for 3 days before Shabbos. V'shavin elu ve'elu she'to'anim korot beit abad v'igulei habad. Basically, both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel are modet that after you've already started the process of pressing the grapes and pressing the olives, there's no problem of putting on additional pressure so that if you take a large board, a pile of board, they used to gradually increase pressure. And you can do this before Shabbos, even though Lamaisa, it's going to continue now to compress those grapes and those olives, which will force the liquid out of them, over the course of Shabbos.
Put it on Shabbos?
No. Before Shabbos. Continue working. All of the cases in the Mishnah were questions of what things will be done on Shabbos for what you did before Shabbos. Now, the Mishnah makes an assumption, and we seem to be talking here about a gzeira, perhaps, certainly all of the other cases are cases in which if you did do it on Shabbos, you would be chayav chatas, which implies that the dio, it would be a chayav chatas. You take a dry ink, put it into water, but that would be a chayav chatas on Shabbos. Well, what would it be? The only thing that it might be is actually the sharia itself is the equivalent of gibul, which is lash. Because I'm mixing it with water. Mixing with water is essentially the pu'ula of lisha. Although you would have thought that lisha requires gibul, actual smushing things together, not just simply allowing them to mix with water. Which means that our tana, mantana, nitinat mayim l'diyo, zohi shriyatan. So who would be the man d'yomar who would say that even though there was no gibul, because all you were doing was letting it soak in the water and spread itself, soften up and so on, who would that man d'yomar be who would say that that's dash, lash? Rebbe Yosef, that must be Rebbe, the Tanya. In a case where Echad notenet akemach, Echad notenet hamayim, aharon chayav divi Rebbe. A guy puts down some kemach, some flour, somebody comes along and pours water into the flour. Says Rebbe, the one who pours water did the act of Lisha. Whereas Rebbe Yosef says, well, he hasn't done anything yet. You would need gibul, you would need to actually mix it for it to be called Lisha. Omale Abaye, now, says Abaye, you're jumping to a conclusion over here that Rabbi Yossi would disagree about the ink, because I mean, I understand that when you're talking about flour, you don't get very much of a dough unless you mix it. It doesn't help to simply let it soak, but maybe that's only with flour. I mean, that's the way in which you need to do a maisa of lash when it comes to something like flour, which won't mix spontaneously. Maybe Rabbi Yossi is moda on things that aren't meant to be mixed together through forcing water through it and creating a sort of gel. Like the dio, eventually it goes into the solution. So who's to say that Rabbi Yossi would disagree that this is the way that it's done? You don't need any more? Maybe that he's, it's not that he disagrees that the concept of lisha includes mixing substances in water. He agrees to that. All he says is that it depends, of course, what the substance is. If the way in which you mix such a substance with water effectively is only through gibul, such as by kemah, then that's the form of its lisha. But if it can be done without mixing, or if mixing makes no sense, then the form of the lisha maybe is ready, simply putting it in. So maybe he would be modan. You're making it into a machloket in our Mishnah. Don't even consider that. The Tanya, we know that that's not true because there's clearly a shita that says that there's no such thing as a lisha without mixing because there's two braitos that seem to be contradictory. In one of them we have Tanya Echad Notenet HaEfer Echad Notenet HaMayim Achron Chayat Divrei Rebbe Rebbe Yossi but Rebbe Yehuda Omer Achi Gabel. Now if you're going to, it says over here the same thing, you're talking about mixing Efer. That's, I mean, Efer is ash. You can't make a gibel out of ash. You can mix it with water, you can get a dark water, but you certainly can't mix it. Now if you're going to say what's it for?
Yeah,
I don't know, maybe you can use it to write secret messages in class, or it's all kinds of things.
No,
it's a wonderful thing. Not necessarily, no. We'll see in a moment. Obviously, it's for a tzorach of some kind. I mean, you know, it could be that you use it afterwards to mix with various five stars.
So.
Of course, otherwise it's not a malacha. So, now, if you try to tell me that the idea over here is not afer, but it's a loose term, sometimes we call afar afer. So maybe what it's talking about is making cement. And this really means you can't mix it now. Certainly cement can be mixed. So maybe that's why we have the machloket. But in a tsunami, were it really afer, it would just be ash, then it's not bar gibul. But maybe it's talking about my afer, afar, the bar gibul. But then we have another brisa. We have another brisa that says afar. So is it afer, is it afar? Obviously, there's two different machlokas. I mean, unless you want to turn it into a contradiction, there's two different machlokas. One is talking about Efer, and even that, Rabbi Yossi is chaylik on, and one is talking about Afar. Says the Gemara, that doesn't prove anything, because these two brightot are not in the same collection of brightot. Mide Gabi Hadadi Tanya. These aren't in the same collection. One comes from Rukhiyah, one comes from Avoshia. There may simply be a difference in terminology. It's the same brightot. I mean, why do I have to answer it? It may be that indeed, I mean, you can't prove to me that Rabbi Yossi would hold it if it were truly Afer, which is the equivalent of Dio, that there wouldn't be a Fiat. But certainly, according to Rabbi, there is. That we know. Now, the Brisa says, and here's the classic case of using a Shabbos clock, essentially, on to do something on Shabbos. You can basically have your watering system go on will continue to irrigate all Shabbat long. It's not your problem. Or, before Shabbos, you can be meniach the mugmar tachat hakelim, Erev Shabbos. You can now leave the mugmar. The mugmar is the container of the various good-smelling incense that you burn to give a good smell to your kelim. Leave it, turn it on Erev Shabbos. Let it sit there all day long and smell up your closet beautifully. Or you could meniach gofrit tachat hakelim, which is one of the ways which you make that, what is it called, the etched silver? The black, and we get the black effect around the etchings to bring out the difference between the various levels. You've seen it in the Bechers, you know. I forgot the name for it, but there's a very simple word, an English word. So the way in which they would do it is burn sulfur under the silver, and that way all of the areas that collected it would turn black, and it would bring out where it is that you did the etching. So you could do that too, even though it's being done on Shabbos. But as long as you turn on the sulfur before Shabbos, it's not a problem. And minyach kilor al gabei ayin, or ispalanit al gabei hamakad. You could take a kilor, which is a eye medication. Put it on before Shabbos, even though it's going to sit there on your eye the whole time, continuing to do its work of refuah on Shabbos. Or you could put an ispalanit on a maka, so that you have now this poultice that's going to work and taking care of your boil. And it's going to be doing its work. What you can't do is to put a large pile of wheat into the hopper of your electric grinder or your water-powered grinder because what? My time. I thought as long as I do it before Shabbos, it's not a problem. So why can't I do it? What's the difference between watering my garden on Shabbos or grinding my wheat on Shabbos? You said that's okay as long as I don't do it. On my rabbah, it's a completely different issue over here. Mipnei shemashma'at kol. The problem is that it makes a lot of noise. And making the noise, that already is a zilusa of Shabbos, because that means that the malacha is making its impact felt on Shabbos. And because of that, we don't allow it. But it's not because you're doing an itzer malacha, and not because apparently we're concerned that your kelim are working on Shabbos. That doesn't seem to bother us.
The noise of the malacha or Stam's big noise?
No, the avsha milsa of is something that has to do with my, this would come up for the question, for instance, of can you put dishes in an old-fashioned dishwasher and have it wash on Shabbos? Yeah, so the shayla is, again, the avsha milsa is a bit commercial dishwasher. You walk by Yeshivat HaKotel two blocks away, you get a dishwasher.
Is that Marasai?
No, it's Zilusa.
No, but people think that he's working on Shabbos.
Rashi holds it's Yilusa B'Alma. There are other shitas, but we'll see, this comes up all the time. How far do we take it? You know, if it's something that everybody knows that it's done, that's the question that's being raised here. By moving.
Was the air conditioner
falling through this? That's a good question. Or a carillion. A carillion. One of those horrible bells.
Oh,
right?
The
robot. Omale Rav Yosef. Says Rav Yosef, why did you just say that the reason is because of the noise level? The reason is that you've got your grinder working on Shabbos, no? I mean, the Braita says, the Tanya, what is it adding by saying, and take care of everything that I mentioned to you? I just said, is there anything else I have to worry about? In which you throw in, and make sure you take care of the little details too. Well, what are the little details? Huh? That's now the marker. The rabot shvitat kelim. See to it that the things that you own, that your grinder isn't grinding on Shabbos. Elam, Rabbi Yosef, I disagree. I think that the meaning of the last case is because the grinder is working. Elam, Rabbi Yosef, mishum shvitat kelim. I, the other cases, nothing is doing any work. It's the only case that we have. What are you doing? You're allowing water into your garden. Where is the machine that's doing the work? There's no instrument of that work. Over here, there's an actual instrument. The grinder's an instrument. So the hash of the armor, we'll go through the cases.
The chief account is your own.
No, you're right. Yeah. So the hash of the armor, the Beit Hillel, eat like Shvitat Kelim. If you're going to tell me that according to Beit Hillel, there's a din, in fact, of Shvitat Kelim. And that Shvitat Kelim is, that seems to be the way Rav Yosef is learning. In other words, this is the normative halacha, following the Shita of Beit Hillel. And this is an Isidiraita. So then why did we allow over here the other cases? I mean, Gofrit, Mugmar, isn't there? There's a container. So you have You have a little container in which you put the sulfur that allows the sulfur to continue to burn the whole time. That container, isn't that a kli? No, it's a kli, but it doesn't do anything. It's just holding. So my time is sharu. That's rishon deloka avid maaseh. You're not doing anything. The kli doesn't do anything. So a passive act is not a passive act. A passive malacha is not a malacha. Well, what about the case of the onin shel pishtan? That's where you have the oven cooking. So it's the same thing. I mean, what are you going to tell me over there? I need the oven because it also acts as an insulator, but it's still passively insulated. It's not acting. There too, it's mishum. The lo ovid maisa. All it's doing is meinachnayach. It's sitting there very calmly keeping in its seat. It's not doing an act, is it? Well, the trapping is doing an act. You got the animal walks on the spring and the door snaps shut. So that snapping shut is an act of a kli. So why isn't that awesome? So mitzudat chayav ofet agim, which now you're claiming can be an issur even according to Beit Hillel, but you're right. Shvisat kelim, forget about any gezerot over here. So my time is sharu. We'll have to say that hatanami belechi the kukri. That's talking about things that are passive, such as a fish hook or a fish trap, basket type trap. No, basket, in which no action is done. What is the basket? You have a small opening, fish comes in, can't figure out how to get out. So it's completely passive. I just allow Mr. Fishy to walk in. And when it comes to that hook, all I'm doing is dangling, looking enticing. But it's not my fault that he went ahead and bit on me, is it? I'm simply sitting here waiting for the action. So I'm passive. They're pulled shut.
Oh, they're not. Not
a Shabbos,
I mean.
Oh, yeah, I know if you know what I mean, but there's got to be some. I mean, it won't do you very much good to leave a net out before Shabbos and blow away. I mean, obviously, we thought that we're talking about something as a mechanism. As soon as it gets touched or filled, there's something that releases a spring and closes it.
But what's the earth requiring an action?
Because, okay, that's a fair question. I mean, what you're really saying is what would they be arguing about if there's such a concept of Shvitat Kelim, and we see that Beit Shammai Hasses and more, Beit Hillel Hasses at less. The truth is that the Torah uses two Lishonot when it comes to Shabbos. And one of them, it says, the Sheshes Yamim Te'aseh Melacha, and then, Be'yom HaShvi'i Tishbot. And the other one, it says, Ta'aseh Kol Melachtecha. And Ta'aseh Kol Melachtecha means that all of your Melacha is supposed to be completed. Well, your malach is supposed to be completed, and that means that we're talking about even passive things you don't want to be complete. The other one, though, is stressing taseh. It's the action. So that's the question. Is the Shvitat Kelim part of the action pasuk or part of the passive pasuk? So many understand about locus Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Because there's clearly two issues in the pasuk. We have to understand where they apply. So if you hold that Shvitat Kelim means the action of the kli is prohibited on Shabbos, the taseh malach, so then these cases would all be mutar. The hashta, the Omer of Oshia, Omer of Asi, Man Tana Shvitat Kelim, the Oraita Beit Shammai. However, now that we found that Rav Oshia quotes Rav Asi as saying that on the contrary, the din of Shvitat Kelim that was quoted before by Rav Yosef is actually Beit Shammai Shita, not Beit Hillel Shita. And that's the reason that Beit Hillel was matir all of the cases in the Mishnah. So therefore, we'll have to say that according to Beit Shammai, ben ka'avid ma'aseh, ben delo ka'avid ma'aseh, asur. Beit Shammai, he really doesn't make any distinction between doing a ma'aseh or not, and that's why the onim shel pishta, or all of those cases are asur, even though the oven is certainly passive, then Beit Hillel would be going to the opposite extreme. And he doesn't hold a shvitat kelim at all, that apagat ka'avid ma'aseh, it would be shori, it turns out, and then we'd be, basically, we would be having the shot over here of the Rechayim only because of Avshem Ilsa, and indeed not because of Shvitat Kelim. In which case, now that you're telling me that according to Beit Shammai, Afak Abdullah Avid Maisa Asur. So now, the case over here without Asiyas Maisa, how are we going to explain if we learn that the din of the Rechayim is in fact the din of Shvisa? How would we explain the difference between it and the other cases, of the case of the Mugmar and so on? Potkim, I understand, there's no kli at all. But certainly a Mugmar is a kli, isn't it? That's a passive kli, but you claim, according to Beit Shammai, it could be a passive kli too, right? So then, how do we explain the bright? In other words, I don't want to change to say, well, no, in fact, the bright is a new din, and it doesn't involve only Beit Hillel. It's true according to Beit Shammai as well. Kipshuto, the way Rav Yosef wanted to say. Except it wasn't Beit Hillel, it was Beit Shammai. Fine, okay, it's Beit Shammai. But then you're telling me that according to Beit Shammai, there's a heter. There's no kli. Good. But there's also a heter for allowing the closet to be filled with incense all Shabbos long, even though you've got an incense container. I don't understand the difference, really, between the incense holder and the oven. I mean, I understand there's a slight difference that the oven provides something, provides insulation. The incense holder is entirely just a place to put it down. But if the difference is only in terms of passivity, then what's the difference? So how do you explain, Yachi, Mugmar v'gofrit? How do I get the sulfur going before Shabbos? How do I get the incense going before Shabbos? My time is short, Beit Shammai. Why would Beit Shammai say that that's okay? So what makes you think that was talking about that was in a kli at all? That's talking about when you put it down straight on the floor. You've got something in a cabinet on the floor, and these things are in a cabinet, and the smoke continues to rise all Shabbos long. What's the problem? What made you think there was a kli involved? The only place where there has to be kli involved was the case of the water-powered grinder. Obviously, by definition, there's a kli. So, wait, what about the case now of Nair? I mean, don't you have lamps for burning, or Kedera, or Shvud? I mean, we know everybody. Did you ever find anybody argue about whether you're allowed to put your carbon Pesach in before Shabbos? I mean, the Feirish mission, nobody argues on that. So you're allowed to cook. I mean, you're allowed to light your candles. I mean, all in all those cases, there's a holder, and you're saying that a holder in those passages considered to be a problem of Shvisas Kalim. How would Beit Shammai understand all of that? You know what? He'll hold you out to be mafter your neres before Shabbos. So it shouldn't be your candle. Not candle, I mean, a candle, of course. It's a Beit Shammai, which is but your lamp, your oil lamp. You have to be mafter. If you weren't mafter, how could your oil lamp be allowed to be working on Shabbos? No, you're just asking a friendly oil lamp. It's not your own to do some work. But I mean, I certainly would never ask my own oil lamp to burn on Shabbos. That's how I'll ask the lamp.
Silver one.
What can you do? I mean, a smart guy who isn't all that machped on muksa would go around collecting them, I guess. Man tana lahat tana rabban. Lo temalei isha kideira asasiyot v'tur mesin v'taniyach v'tocha tanur erev Shabbos im chashecha. The Braisa over here says a very interesting halacha. You're not allowed to take these various types of legumes and put them into an oven. These are things that require an awful lot of cooking in order to be ready. They're generally left all day long, and then you take them out at night. So you shouldn't put this in Erev Shabbos before Shabbos. And if you did, you can't eat them at Erev Shabbos because that means that they were cooked. No. We're getting there. We're getting there. You're going to have children coming out of your ears by the time we finish this sugya. Don't worry. Speaking of which, everyone is invited to the Shabbat Chatan this week of Reuven, to the Kiddush, Norah Haid, which is be about 10:15. So I'm very happy to see you all there. So anyway, getting back, sorry, but I knew I would forget. Thank you. To rely on you to remind me things that All right. So over here, these are things that if you did put it in before Shabbos, you didn't do anything on Shabbos. It's an Amitzar Shabbos. You're ready to open up your tanur and have a wonderful Malava Malka. You're not allowed to eat them. You'd have to spend enough time as it would take to cook them in the first place before that way you're not being nene from what was done on Shabbat. Furthermore, Kayot Sebo, you also have another case. You want to get yourself a lot of hot water ready to do your dishes. You take now a big pot, fill it up with water, let it heat over Shabbos in the tanur, which has been cooling down from before. And now you take it out, you got yourself hot water. You can't use that hot water. So how do we explain this? Is this all? What? Baker?
That's my thought.
Well, he's the one who's got the deep. That's the baker. Everybody used to come into the baker. Nobody had a private. Even until very recently. Erev Shabbos, before Shabbos, everybody was running with their cholent to bring it to the Nachton. You had an Erev Shalom also, the old Londoner. The old Londoner bakery. So, So we use the Lashon HaTzom. He's the one who's got it.
Do you have a problem keeping the boiler on over Shabbos?
We're just starting this again.
Of course.
So now, does that mean that this is all Beit Shammai? Because the problem is that your oven is doing work, but according to Beit Hillel, there'd be no problem. So you want to know, you're not taking into consideration a whole different issue, which brings us straight to Cholim Learn. Afilu Tema Beit Hillel. We got another problem. Gzera Shema Yachate Begechalim. If you're trying to keep things warm, then you've got a problem of maybe turning up the fire. And if you do that, then of course you will be Zayim on Shabbos. And so in order to avoid that, Beit Hillel is the motor that we have a Gezerah, you can't do any of these things. Yeah. So if that's the case, then why don't we have that problem with the Mugmar and the Gofrit? You're telling me that when it comes to things that are burning, we have to take into consideration something else entirely, besides Shvitat Kelim, namely, that you may adjust the flames. So then anything that involves burning has got that problem. Well, two of the cases that you were matir, and namely, the case of the incense and the case of the sulfur, both were burning. So why aren't we concerned that you'll adjust the flames over there? So Gnami leads on. No, Hatam lo machte. No way that you will poke on those coals on Shabbos. Because the imachte, salik bahu kutra, the kashilu. If you do that, you create smoke. And if it starts smoking, it ruins your clothes in the closet. On the contrary, it's that you have to be very careful with this thing not to have any kind of poking on it. And you'll ruin your silver if you've got the sulfur is suddenly smoking over it. And so, Mamela, that's not a problem. But when it comes to the case of keeping the water hot, well, you might get the feeling that it'd be nice to poke it a bit, or get my tourmaline all ready for Mitzvah Shabbos. Those are the things that those Druze sell all the time up in the Golan. The little packages of tourmaline. They're famous for it. Huh? Big white beans. Yeah, like lima beans. Yeah. Sounds much more exotic when you call them tourmaline. Jeff, tell everybody a line of these. Lufa.
If Shami would answer as Minoraisa.
Answer the product?
No, well, answer the act.
Answer the act, right.
Wouldn't it be stuff that was cooked on Shabbos? Would they say that they should answer Shami? Or they would?
You're not being very clear, but I think what you're asking is that if Beit Shammai asks you something to be right, that makes sense to ask you B'Fei She'asu. Hashem can even tell me Tam Gizera, would we ask her even B'Fei She'asu, or would
we... If you do it, then you ask her B'Fei She'asu, but if it doesn't arise, so...
Should we ever allow it?
Yeah, I mean,
because of Meisah Shabbos? Yeah. Okay, we'll see later on about Meisah Shabbos. Not always. Not all Meisah Shabbos are also to everyone B'Fei Shabbos. So we have a new din. Okay, but we're not worried about Shema Yachta. This word Shema Yachta is going to be with us a long time. So just remember those words. Shema Yachata, we're afraid you're going to be chote, you're going to poke on the coals, or you take a shovel and get the coals heated again. Stoke is the word, thank you. And that Shema Yachta is not a concern when it comes to the sulfur, to the case of the mugma. And the Habadion and Shalpishna, huh? What are you going to do about that? I mean, you were certainly not concerned with the smokiness when it comes to the Pishna. Mishnah's a mess, anyway. So this is part of the whitening process and the loosening process of the fish time. Why don't we go over there? That you want the heat to keep going during Shabbos, you may stoke the flames. No, there you've got another problem. There, given the kashu zika lo migalelin, in order to stoke the flames, you have to open the door of the oven. But if you open up the door of the oven, you're allowing in air. If you allow air into the pishta, and then they have a chemical reaction which messes up the pishta. The whole idea is the thing has to be in a place where it's not mixed with oxygen, and then it breaks down, there's enzymes on it when it's after getting it wet. And if you expose it to the air, you mess it up. So why would anybody open up the door of the tanur? It's also not a problem. And well, how about the other case? How about the case of putting in the wool into the dye vat? So why aren't we choshish that you're going to be stoking the flames to get the dye properly into your wool? Or marshua biyore akura. It's talking over there that you took the vat off of the fire. So what? There are no flames. The question was entirely, as far as Beit Shammai was concerned, the act of dying. The dye vat is doing an isser on Shabbos because it's dying for you, but not cooking. So there's no problem. Well, but isn't there a problem of Shema Megis? Maybe he will stir it. And when you stir something that's cooking, then that becomes a cooking, even though it's not on the fire, if that's the derech to cook it. So why aren't we harsh for that? Oh, it's talking about akura v'tucha. It's not only off the flames, but it's also sealed. So that in order to avoid anybody poking at it, we took the cover and we sealed it with a little bit of glue, which is the regular way to seal, to prevent the kids from bothering it. And there's no problem. There's no fire to stoke. and there's no cover that you're going to easily remove. In order to remove it, you're going to have to pry it up. And by the time you pry it up, oh, I'm not supposed to be doing this. So it's not, in other words, we're worried about a spontaneous act, which the person simply forgets for a moment that it's Shabbos. But if he's got to pry it off, we're not worried. Now that we get to the issue of worrying about maybe you're going to turn up the fire, now we can start talking about the cholin. So, if you've got a pot that has things in it that are raw, then you're allowed to put it down on the flames, Erev Shabbos, because since it's now, it's going to take a long time for it to cook. He has no interest now of having it ready right away. He knows it takes hours and hours. So over there, we're not afraid that he's going to turn up the flames. The case before of the tourmaline, which needed to cook all day long, that's something else. That's because even with all of the cooking, they won't be ready. But over here, the cholent will be ready by the morning. You're not chayshish that you need to be chayshish. And so we have now two levels. Things that are very difficult to cook, which are also even when they're chaya, even when they're completely raw, which was the case of the asasiyot in the tourmaline. And then we have standard things, but clearly there's not enough time to get them ready by tonight. And there we also have no shash, you can leave it on.
So you can put it on raw right before
Shabbos. But not if it's semi-run, not if it could still cook up in time. Then you have to, we're chayshish. Since you're not going to be able to use it tonight anyway, don't think about it now. And there's no problem. How about if it's bashil, if it's fully cooked? Oh, it's a sharper dummy, not a problem. Our problem is bashil v'lo bashil. Where it's semi-cooked, there you got a problem, and that's us. However, if you take in now one piece of meat or one bone, which is raw, you're not going to eat this with raw stuff mixed in it. You're going to wait until the whole thing cooks up again. And then that means, once again, you're going to be misalik your das from it. And that would not be a problem. Furthermore, so that's the first issue, the chotabit. You also raised another issue, which is the opening up of the door in cases where you prefer not to expose something to the air. Now that also has a big impact on cooking, as far as Shabbos is concerned, because hashtag yon amar kol midi dekashe lezika lo megalulay. Anything which you don't want exposed to the air. Well, when you're cooking gedi, which is very soft, and you want the meat to be soft, so high bis or the gadya. And if you have a case in which you're cooking gedi, vishori, and the door is also sealed, so you've got two issues. You really don't want to open the door, because it's going to expose it to the oven. And furthermore, you're not going to come to just casually open the door, because it's sealed. That for sure is not a problem, right? That's shaper dummy. On the other hand, let's take the other extreme. You're talking about barcha. Barcha is now an older ram that you're cooking. And over there, it's something which on the contrary requires, it's tough meat and so on. So over there, the door, first of all, you wouldn't care about opening. Furthermore, you didn't close the door in such a way that it's difficult to get open. So that's for sure also, that's the other extreme. You have two things wrong. You don't mind about its opening, and there's nothing to prevent you from casually opening it. The question is, if you've got one thing that's good, in other words, let's say you have a gadya, but it's low sharik. So the gadi itself, I don't want to be exposed to the air, it toughens the meat. But I still might casually open it, because I didn't seal the door. Or, how about a barcha? I don't care if I open it, but I did seal the door. So you have one reason to be matir. And then we have a machlokas ravashi shari. One holds, that Ravashi holds, as long as you have one reason not to be makbir, then that's sufficient. And Ravashi says, the Gemara, according to Ravashi, says it's mutter. What do we do with the Ein Tzolin Basar, Batsal, Ubeitza? Ela Kedeshi Yitzolu Miba Odion. The Mishnah says, Beferish, that you cannot put into Tzli, you're not allowed to, has it Tzli in English? To roast, okay. We'll see, we could be talking about barbecues also. So you ain't selling busar tzli ubeitza elakadeshi yitzalumi ba'odyom, that you're not allowed now to start the process of roasting, whether it's meat or whether it's onions or whether it's eggs, unless it'll be ready by Shabbos. What do we do with that? It says beferish ain't selling busar. We'll have to say that according to Rav Asher, it says it's mutar. That's talking about the case that's here. It says asur. That's where it's got both reasons to be afraid. It's barcha, and barcha is tough, and you don't care if it's exposed to the air. And furthermore, the door is not secured. Velo sharik. So there's no reason to be matir. Remember, Rav Ashi said you need at least one reason to be matir. Either you won't casually open it, or you don't want to open it. Now, Iker Yamri, others learn, they take it to the full extreme, that the gadya bein sharik bein lo sharik shapir dami. If you've got a deed that you don't want to be exposed to the air, there's no problem, and there's no need to secure the door. A barcha nami, and even if it's a barcha where you don't care if you expose it to the door, to the air, and the door is closed and secured, it's also no problem. The machlokas Rav Ashi and Rav Yirmiya was in a case where it's a barcha of a low sharik, and this is very surprising, that Rav Ashi is being matir, even though there's no reason, apparently, to be matir. The Mishnah says, Beferish ain't so in basar. And nonetheless, he says that if it's a type of meat, which is barcha, and that's the worst case, because you don't mind opening the door, and the tanur has a door that's easily opened and is not secured, he's still saying it's mutter. Over there, Rav Ashi is shari, and Rav Yirmiya did say asir. Now how do we explain Rav Ashi? Rav Ashi to shari, but it's not. What do we do about the Mishnah? Ain't so in basar, but salo b'tzah. Ela kadeshi yitzolumi ba'od yom. Ah. That's talking about a barbecue. Hatam bebisa agumri. There's no door at all. So you are making a barbecue. I mean, that's the thing that demands the most poking. I mean, everybody's constantly looking over it. Is it burning? I mean, that's half the fun of the barbecue. You got to be looking at it and pouring new stuff on it and poking on it and so on. So there, a barbecue, ain't nothing on me. Rav Ashi is moda. But the case where the gechalim are covered... If they should get Kalima covered, then it's not a problem. Is that the challenge, maybe? Oh. The Kugel, maybe. Yeah. Is that the Kugel? I'm afraid this was the Kugel. Call the Kugel man back right away. Go to my received calls. I forgot. The Kugel guy I hung up on. Face me. I thought he knew where to bring the Kugel, but he's got a different shmia. Oh, yeah. Omer Ravina. Hi karachaya shapir dami. If you're going to be cooking raw pumpkins, oh my goodness, good thing Sienna's not here today. Yeah. You're gonna be putting in pumpkins now into bake for Shabbos. There it's so sensitive. So given the kashi lezika kadisha the gadya dami, that would have the same din as the soft meat of the gadi. You wouldn't want to open the door on a pumpkin. Beit Shammai Omri, in mochrim. Now we had another question: are you allowed to sell to a goy right before Shabbos, and he's going to be carrying your things out before Shabbos? The Shammai says you're not allowed to be mocher, chepso, v'nochri. You can't lend him anything, v'lo yashilenu, v'lo yalvenu, you can't lend him money, v'lo yitemo b'matana, ele kadeshi yagielaveto. He's got to get home before Shabbos.
Even if it's his.
Doesn't need to get home. He needs to get close to home. In other words, a place where he's already able to deposit his clothes, or whatever you gave him. It's not your business to get it to his house. Rabbi Akiva, you know? It's not your business anything. Just get him out of your house. As long as he gets out of your house, then there's no fashash of people thinking you're doing business on Shabbos, or you're shaleach somebody on Shabbos. We'll see what the issues are over here. There's a lot of major questions of what the basis of any Yisroel with an Akum are. Even Amir al-Akum. Major Machlokes, and what's the basis of that is? Omer Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, hein hein divrei Rav Akiva, hein hein divrei Beit Hillel. Don't misunderstand this. It's not that Rav Akiva is being chaylik on Beit Shammai Beit Hillel. He's simply explaining that the presentation of Beit Hillel here is mistaken. Lo bar Rav Akiva lo lefaresh divrei Beit Hillel. All that Rav Akiva is saying is that the way the Tana says over here that Beit Hillel isn't makbid, but it has to get to his home, but he is makbid, it has to get somewhere, is not true. He's not makbid, it has to get somewhere. It doesn't get anywhere. As long as it's out of his house.
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy, I was right. It was the Kugel man. And here we're talking about it. We're talking about the sugya. And it happens to us right in the middle of the sugya. And we don't even remember that it's coming.
You've got
to
keep it going. And see him walking out of the house.
That's why you have to drop
on. On Shabbos.
On Shabbos.
Yeah.
They see him walking out of the house.
Then it's a problem.
But once he's out of the
house. Once he's out of the house before Shabbos, what's in my business what he does? Okay.
Now, fine. That
to be continued, 9:30 is good?
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night? Shabbos?
Because there we had before with Stavka, it's only his wallet.
Huh?
Only his wallet. Before his keys.